Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are you in constant contact with God, or has it been a long time since He's heard from you? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we open your word again today, Father, we pray that you will not only remind us, but that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and help us to understand how important it is that we make prayer a real part of our lives. Help us to understand that you're a God who wants to hear from us often, whether it's to sing praises to you for your goodness, to come with our sins, to ask help for other people. O God, again give us insights into what a blessing you have given to us when you have taught us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Into the brightness of Zion's glad morning, joy to the lands that in darkness have lain. Hush be the accents of sorrow and mourning, Zion in triumph begins her wild reign. Into the brightness of Zion's glad morning, long by the prophets of Israel foretold, hail to the millions from bondage returning, Gentiles and Jews of blessed vision behold. Though in the desert rich flowers are springing, springs ever copious are flagging along, love from the mountain tops echoes are ringing, whispers in verdure and mingling song. See from the lands, from the isles of the ocean, praise to Jehovah ascending on high. Fall of the engines of war and commotion,
hear God's word as it is recorded in the fifth chapter of James, beginning with verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care,
Friends in Christ. One of the great reformers, John Calvin, once said, "There is no time in life when God does not invite us to himself. No time. He is never too busy to visit with us, to hear our concerns, to receive our praises, and then to speak a word to us in the Holy Scriptures." In other words, God invites his children to come with every conceivable experience in life. So I have entitled this sermon, "A God for All Times." But when I do that, I realize, examining my own life, that here it's necessary for God to take out the pruning knife to help me with my prayer life. So James is being used by God with his inspired pen to talk to us today about prayer and the importance of walking with God every hour of the day. James presents us with a lot of questions, and he tells us what to do. For example, in the very first verse, he says of our text, he says, "Is any one of you in trouble? You have any trouble this week?" Then James says, "You ought to pray about it." I would ask you, has it been a bad week? Was it a bad day? Was last Friday a bad day? You may say, "Yes, it was. I hate to tell you, it was a bad day." You see, I understand what's wrong. I understand that I have cramped altogether too much into my life, and I can't get it all done. And that which I do, I often do not do as well as I would like to do. So it gets on my nerves. And when it gets on my nerves, I'm irritable. I get irritable with everyone. When I come home, I'm irritable with my loved ones. I even get irritable at the dog. There I am, tired, frustrated, the day running around in my head, still a lot of things to do. My little girl has met with some success in school that day. She's learned a particular thing, and she wants to share it with her father or her mother. And so she's trying her best to get our attention. And she keeps on and on. And finally, I look at her and I say, "Susie, I love you, but will you please shut up?" And after you've said it, you look at that disappointed face. And that night, when you lie there on your bed, those words ring in your ears. And you ask the question, "Am I really a Christian?" And if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course you are a Christian. Somebody may say, "Well, if you trusted in Christ, you wouldn't do that." That is not true. Many of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have those moments. But it's right here that God says, "Let me do some pruning. Let me help you. You don't have to continue that way. As a Christian, you have me to whom you are able to turn. But first, may I ask you, what did you do about it? When you finally got to sleep, what did you do about it? The next day? Nothing? You just hope that the new day is going to be better than the last one was? Will it be? Probably not. I cannot do all that I am trying to do, you say. Why not take God's advice? Why not come to him in prayer and say, "God, show me in your word what I should cut out of my life. Help me to adjust the schedule of my life." Do you know God's word can do that? Help me to understand what is priority. Certainly my little girl is a priority. Far more of a priority than some silly meeting you went to and you really didn't have to. What do you leave out of your life? When do I say no? Is it wrong to say no? If your life is that jam-packed full, it is not wrong to say no. God does not expect you to do any more in a day's work than you are capable of doing. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be lazy. It means we still work. But we can't put 10 hours of work into an 8-hour work day. It just doesn't work. That's practical Christianity, I know. But that's what this prayer life is all about. To get on our knees and battle out, how do I spend each day? Well, let's go on. He says, "Is anyone happy?" And I hope that to that question, we would all say, "Yeah, there are many days that I am really happy." James says, if that be the case, why don't you sing your praises to God? Just let those good things come out in you. What a marvelous day you had. Did you have a good day? Oh, yeah, we had a great weekend. Oh, we had a great time with family and friends. Or a loved one came home from the hospital and we were very worried about what the outcome would be of that illness. Or we had a son or a daughter get married. What a joyous time it really was. Good. What did you do about it? Would you have to say, "Well, we just enjoyed it"? Did you thank God for that good weekend? Did you thank God that that loved one came home? You prayed while he was in the hospital. Now that he or she is home, do you thank God for the healing? Or is that supposed to wait until Thanksgiving Day? You know, November is a long ways off. God wants to hear from us every day, many times during the day. He wants to have you say to him, "God, thank you. Thank you as you head off to work on Monday. Thank you for a blessed weekend." He wants us to be happy. And he wants to have a part in that happiness. He wants to sing praises with you. You see, the doxology that we sing in church on Sunday, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow," is not only to be sung at a worship service. It is to be sung as you go down the highway. Thank you, God. That's what James is talking about. God is a God for all time, every minute of the day. He goes on. Is anyone sick? Well, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now, this is a prayer where the details are sometimes debated. Now, what does that oil mean? It can be meant in a spiritual anointment, to be sure. It can also be meant to move towards medicinal help. In other words, James could say to us who live in this advanced day of medical science, if there's someone wrong, if there's someone sick, I get to a doctor and get there quickly. These doctors are God's servants too. He or she is God's gift to us. They are the ones who do the surgery. They are the ones who prescribe the medicine. But they are only God's servants. It is God who does the healing. Not long ago, I had a doctor say to me when I asked him how my wife was healed from a particular affliction, he turned and he said, God healed her. It is only God who does the healing. We are simply his servants. That doctor understands. We also pray, don't we, if someone is sick? God, if that sickness is not going to be overcome and my loved one is going to be dead soon, will you give me the strength and the grace to face it as one of your children? Well, what did you do when what are you doing if there's sickness in your family or among your friends? What have you done? Worried? Or have you placed your faith in the doctor and left it right there? God says, you know, I want to be a part of all of your life. I'm the God of all seasons. And I want to be there when you're really concerned about the health. Here's another one. Have you had a conflict with another person? James says, if you have, you ought to go to him or her, and you ought to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. What do we do, friend, when conflict like this comes? Do we go to the person who has been offensive to us, or we have been offensive to him or her? Probably not. Where do we go? We go to another friend, don't we? And we tell that other friend how terribly we were treated and what an unkind person our common friend is. James says, that isn't the way to do it. You go to the one who has offended you, and you lay it on the line, and you confess whatever wrong you might have had in this whole matter, but then you be honest with him and say, look, this is what you did, and it hurt me to the core. It crushed me. In one sense of the word, my life will never be quite the same again. And then let that person respond. If she or he is a Christian, they probably will respond. And two of God's children will pray together. They'll ask God for forgiveness. And does he ever smile on that? Two of his children who have been at odds with one another on their knees before God. You say, well, it isn't quite practical. May I ask you, do you prefer the alternative of living contrary to the will of God, of losing a friend and carrying ill will for a number of years? There are millions of people who are living that way, And that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is simply asking God to come into that life and helping you where you are helpless. He's a God of all season, a God of all times. He's the one who wants to be there right now. And as you listen to that broadcast, maybe it's time to pick up that receiver and do what God has told you to do in His Word. What about if someone in your congregation has walked away from God? What are you doing about it? He was always very faithful. He not only came to church, there was every reason to believe that he was living out the Christian life. Suddenly he is gone. Well, James says, if any of you should wander from the truth and another would bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. In other words, because a person has turned his back on Christ and the church, does not mean that he cannot be brought back. That's what we call conversion. Can be brought back to the cross of Jesus Christ where atonement has been made for his or her sin. Restored into the fellowship of the saints again. What do we do? Oh, it's so much easier to talk to another person in the church about her or him, isn't it? Now I wonder why they went away. They had such fine parents. They had such good training. There's no need of this. Or did we remain silent when we had an opportunity to visit with that person about his or her relationship with God? We were right together in the same family. We didn't even say we miss you in church. Now that might disturb someone. Say nothing about, you know, I'm so concerned that you have not walked away from the Lord. That person may just be waiting for someone to ask him or her what's wrong. And when that person is turned around by the Holy Spirit, who used your words or mine, then the scripture tells us we have won a brother or a sister for the Lord Jesus. Well, that's the way it is. He's a God of all season. God in His Word wants us to know that He is anxious to be with us at all times. He is a God of all times. He wants to prune this crazy idea that there's only a certain time during the day or week when we pray. He wants us at all times. The writer of that wonderful hymn that we sing so often, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," has it all straight. For there he writes, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Listen as Leontine Price, that marvelous soloist, sings this hymn for us. What a friend. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain.
Father in heaven, today we pray for those who are sick. We pray, O Lord, that through the marvels of medical science or through your direct healing, you will restore health. If that not be the case, then, Lord, give them the grace to know that if they trust in you, they go home to heaven. We pray for those who might have walked away from Christ, walked away from his church. Lord, where we had that opportunity, give us the grace to express your love and concern for them. Help us to understand that you are the God of all seasons and you're anxious to serve us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. Many of our listeners are shut-ins and rely on our broadcast for their weekly worship service. Sometimes those who most need our program are the least able to send financial support. We are now broadcast on 35 stations in 13 states throughout the country, on shortwave radio in North America and Europe, and on internet worldwide. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.